that's okay.
Yeah.
In the report, if I can,
it's so hard.
In the report, at the very last attachment, this is attachment J. It's the last two pages of the report. So page 55 and 56, you will see the results of an effort. Let me step back for a second and tell you what that effort was. This year, and as in every year, the council needs to approve allocations for various projects and programs from the trial court improvement fund, modernization fund, and for technology from the trial court trust fund. This year, we had an additional complicating factor with that that related to, and it's one of the items you've seen before, of that $180 million of offset to trial court funding, $20 million was a reduction from funding available in the modernization fund. So that typically, for the last couple of years, there's been an appropriation level of about $38 million. Well, the legislature, in that action to move that funding and move that appropriation to offset trial court reduction, dropped the available appropriation to just over $18 million. So that, and considering that the whole series of projects and programs, some of the discussion that you all had this afternoon about how do we pick one out, how do we deal with one versus another, and clearly the ability of this body and the logistics of trying to do that become very difficult. Even for the budget working group, that's a difficult task. So we had called for a subcommittee of the budget working group that would volunteer to go through every project and program funded out of the modernization fund and the improvement fund. We had project managers come up and discuss the project, the viability of the project, the value of the project, and what it looks like with reductions. And then and had some real lively knockdown, drag-out discussions related to that. But it was really roll up the sleeves. And so we had 12 of the members of the budget working group had volunteered for that duty. And that was two very long full days as they went through, came up with the recommendations. So what you see on that attachment J, page 55 and 56, you see the results of that effort. Column A was the baseline budget. So this is ongoing funding. This is about the ongoing level for a series of very important projects. This is a long report, and for those of you that went through it all, you'll know there's discussion about what the reductions were to every single project and program that was identified. So the baseline amount, the starting amount, if there was no reduction and no terrible fiscal year, what some of the baseline allocations and recommendations might have been for these projects and programs. But then after the subcommittee worked, you can see in column B, these were the recommended reductions. And I'm not going to say, and I think it goes without saying, and many of you participated in that process, nobody was there to say any of these were good. Again, the story of today has been this is very difficult, all of these cuts. But all of these things in the project and programs were really sweated over and debated. But they ended up with $19.962 million of reductions that were identified, not quite to the target that we needed. But then they asked at the very end, at the point of exhaustion on the last day, okay, staff, you go see if you can identify some additional pieces that get us to that targeted reduction. That's column C. So we went back and squeezed a little more, and project managers identified some additional savings. So at the end of the day, we were able to come back with a reduction that said, in most cases, these are programs and projects that were maintained and left viable. But at the end of the day, again, this is a one-time reduction, $21.1 million that the subcommittee recommended to the budget working group. The budget working group looked at it. Again, the budget working group, like the council, really didn't have time to go through all of the details and all of the programs and projects, but looked at the work and ultimately endorsed and recommended to you these reductions that are shown on this page, so that you end up with a base that started in column A of 88.449 on page 56, but you end up with a recommendation for Improvement Fund and Modernization Fund this year of $67.3 million. And that's the first piece of the first of two pieces of the recommendation. The second one is something that was not discussed with that subcommittee that was looking at the modernization fund per se. This was discussed only with the budget working group, and that is technology funding. And I would point you to page 54. And actually, there is a lot of technology funded in the Improvement Fund and the Modernization Fund, and they did look at that. But what was not included in the recommendations by the review by that Modernization Fund subcommittee was column C, Trial Court Trust Fund. And so this is CCMS expenditures and budget that's recommended out of the Trial Court Trust Fund. This is consistent. These numbers are consistent with the approved or recommended, the recommended one-year pause, but the savings that was identified today. And so column C reflects an area that, again, that subcommittee didn't review, but ultimately the council, so that $37.6 million at the bottom. It actually goes to the second page. There's also another piece on the second page. That $37.6 million and then the $8.1 million for ongoing services from the trust fund. Those are also recommended to you. And again, that's the CCMS components are consistent with the offset and the reduction that we talked about today that was associated with a one-year pause, but however it's achieved. But that's what the recommendations related to. Improvement Fund, Modernization Fund, and some trust fund related to technology.
And so, Stephen, for clarification, the recommendations on the memorandum item 3, items 1 through 5, are a breakout of what you have indicated to us in sums from attachment J, pages 55 and 56.
That's correct. So that recommendation one, these are pieces of that. The recommendation one relates to, and actually we do have slides on this. So recommendation one relates to funding for projects and programs, and these are non-technology projects and programs. They total 22.783. So these are detail of the charts I just showed you. $22.783 million for projects and programs, which include adjustments to allocations previously approved by the council. The second recommendation was for ongoing services for trial courts. That's $19.07 million. Breaks up into $10.1 million from the Improvement Fund, $8.2 million from the Trust Fund, $755,000 from the Modernization Fund. Again, that's $19 million. And then statewide technology infrastructure, that adds up to $65.544 million for maintenance and operations. And then statewide technology projects was $5.716 million, and that's trial court trust fund for the CCMS V4. Finishing development, and some very minimal $3.399 million for V4 deployment.
It's actually pre-deployment. It's pre-deployment rather than deployment.
Okay. Then any questions or discussion regarding item number 3 and the report given, Judge Waters?
Well, I did read this whole report, and I had no problems with most of the recommendations. When I got to, it's best shown to me on page 5 of the report under the Mod Fund, Category 3, pilot projects, And then I look at attachment 3, and it looks like the trial court budget working group is recommending that we eliminate all funding for 13 courts ADR programs, but maintain full funding for 6 courts complex litigation departments. Mm-hmm. And I listened to the entire trial court budget working group meeting and heard no explanation as to why that one program, complex litigation, and I believe in it very much, is being protected from any cut at all in this program. Whereas, like I said, the courts that have ADR programs are basically being told, if you think it's a good program, find funding elsewhere in your budget. So I'd ask Stephen or anyone who is at the trial court budget working group to explain to me why the difference in treatment.
Judge Wesley?
Well, first of all, they spent hours on this and had a presentation on complex litigation courts, mm-hmm. thought about all of the issues. And one of the reasons it's different is because it virtually pays for itself. They charge $550, I think it's per party, up to $20,000. In Los Angeles, for example, we collected $1.37 million. Our funding was $1.17. And I think if you look at each of the courts, you will find that they are virtually paying for themselves. So this is no savings to the trial courts. In fact, this is actually the kind of program that helps the trial courts handle the cases that they have with limited resources. It came out as a pilot program. It is endorsed wholeheartedly by the lawyers of this state that use it. In fact, they agreed to pay higher fees to help the courts out. There are 6 courts using it. Some courts have opted not to use it, but they don't collect the fees for the complex litigation cases that they have. And there's a whole long explanation of what complex litigation cases are, but when you have a case with 1,000 or 2,000 plaintiffs, maybe 600 cases put together, that's a complex litigation case. There are judges that are specially trained to handle them with special techniques. They help the courts in numerous ways, and I'm not saying that ADR isn't a valuable program, but there are a lot of valuable programs, and the trial court working group that worked on this, it's a subcommittee of the trial court budget group. They thought about all these things and they voted to support the complex litigation court. So you want to know a reason? That's why.
Thank you. Judge So, then Commissioner Alexander.
I didn't hear her reasons.
I'm going to move that the Judicial Council adopt the trial court budget working group recommendation as set forth on pages 1 and 2 of the staff report, including items 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Second.
Multiple seconds. I heard Mr. Penrod first. Commissioner Alexander.
San Francisco said they weren't going to do their complex litigation. So is there something in here where that money comes back and gets redistributed? Because I in the complex litigation, it showed no changes as opposed to having that money come back.
Yeah, so we heard that statement. We're not at this point. The numbers are reflecting the program that was originally conceived. I have not seen that or heard that there's a formal request by the court to not take this allocation. If that's approved, then that either would free up the funds, and I would defer to our Office of General Counsel that manage the program, and either free up the funds within the allocation, or it would just not be utilized and saved. And I'm assuming the Office of General Counsel would report back to the council once that determination was made.
And then my other question was, is the IT money the same if CCMS decides not to pause but figures out another way to do some of the work they were going to do? Is this savings going to still be incurred?
So I'll just talk about how the numbers work, and then Judge Herman certainly could and it may move some things around a little bit, but the action of the council today was to reduce the funding available for CCMS, the planned funding this year. So it would not increase the funding. The only way they could have increased funding would be to come back to this body and get an allocation increase. But it may result in some changes of characterization of some of the pieces.
And really, we are where we are with the funding, and this is the funding that we have to work with at this point. We are going to come back to the council. We are going to spend a substantial amount of time between the internal committee and the governance committee in terms of plotting out where we're going to go. These are the numbers that we're working with.
Any further discussion before I call for the vote? All in favor of the motion and the recommendations in item 3 as stated in your memorandum? All in favor, vote aye.
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 Aye. Any
aye.
Any opposed? No. Thank you. I believe that concludes our agenda. I do want to say something, though, first, several things. And I want to commend the extraordinary work of the Trial Court Budget Working Group, the judges, the justices, the lawyers, the court executive officers, the AOC staff, and also the work that counsel did today, which was deliberative, and it was deep, and it was probing, and it was also happened to able to do all that at a high level. And I also especially want to commend Stephen Nash, who's walked us through this, who spent his day with us. I know that you are technically in San Bernardino, and I'm grateful for all of your answers to all of my questions about the numbers and walking me through them and walking us all through them. And I special thanks, as Ron already said, to your presiding judge, Elwell, when I had to call him and ask him to keep you longer. And he said, "You, Chief, whatever you need." So we thank you for your service and especially for coming back and walking us through this. You will be definitely missed. I'm concluding. Well, I'm concluding just to say that I'd like to meet in private session for no more than half an hour. Go ahead.
One observation and then one recommendation. On the discussion on equalizing funding in the courts, and while we have a large number of judges and court executive officers and lawyers that are trying to work on a model that will be more effective, and that you will have more confidence in to try to identify chronic underfunding issues. But the reality is still going to be that it will be a challenge as long as we have such an extraordinary disparity in the number of judges in courts across California. And the not the sole solution to equal funding, but a huge piece of it, is having the allocation of judges that you have recommended over the past 7 or 8 years to make progress in getting that approved to move forward with. And that will do more to equalize funding than anything else and will free up some other opportunities. And then finally, I'd like to recommend that you, as you have done in past years on a number of occasions when we're going through budget reduction scenarios, that you do as you have on past occasions, and that's direct the staff to, after we get the final fund balances that Stephen talked about and those kinds of things, but to look at both the reserve balances, other things about historical underfunding, and go back to the executive committee and report on any courts that would appear to be in a state of absolute crisis, so that if there is something that needs to be done, that it can get back before the council in August at that time. So,
if there's a need for a motion, I would make that motion.
I would second that.
All in favor of coming back to council to do that study and to get an idea of the end balances and where we need to start to begin to address the under-resourcing of courts. All in favor say aye.
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 And so that is handed over to E&P to follow up on, as well as the results of our adjustments today that we will hear further about and have more information in writing at our August meeting.
Can I just add one thing? Again, to commend E&P. We had an extraordinary meeting today for a lot of reasons, but I really value that first hour. Actually, it was almost an hour where we had public comment. I haven't seen that before in our meetings, to have that extensive amount of comment. I think it was very worthwhile, and I appreciate E&P setting up the agenda in this fashion and allowing
that type of input to the council before we started.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I will ask council members to stay for half an hour more to in closed session on a personnel matter.